We are in Tzadik Gimel Amud Aleph. We are at the two dots, I would say about 18 lines in the bottom. There's two dots in the middle of the page. That's where we are. Chayam Hashem Tzvachai Tzvachai Yisrael. So says the Rabbeinu Shalom of Achav Ben Koloya to Tzitzio Ben Masaya to Achav Ben Koloya and Tzitzio Ben Masaya Haniboyim Lochem Bishmi LaShoker that said false testimony in my name. It says later on, and a curse will be taken. They will become a sign of a curse. So all Jews that were exiled in Babel, when they had to say something bad would happen to somebody, they would say, Hashem could make you like Titio L'Achav, Hashem Kala Melech Babel Be'esh. That he toasted them in fire. I should start from Oynemar. It doesn't say he burnt them in fire. El Asher Kolam, he toasted them in fire. Am Rabbi Yechim, Mishim Rabbi Shimon ben Yechim, Melamet Shosn Kikloyas. He burnt them to the point that they became like stalks that are burnt in fire. They became totally toasted. Now why? What did they do that they deserved such a terrible punishment that they became the example of a terrible punishment? And if somebody wanted to say to somebody, you're going to have a terrible punishment, they said, you're going to be like him and him. That the Gemara Yana Sha'asu Nevolo, they did a disgusting thing to Yisrael, by Yenafuas Neshei Re'ayim, and they did Eishas Ish, they did Znus with the wives of their friends. Now it's interesting, the Gemara is going to bring a story that has nothing to do with Znus with a Jewish lady. The Mepharshim speak out that the Gemara is describing the next part of the pasuk by Yidabru Davar Bishmi Sheker. They said something which the Gemara doesn't quote here, which they said things to me in my name for falsehood, as we will see momentarily. Meaning, besides doing Eishes Ish, which was terrible enough, they also said something in the name of Hashem that was totally false. What happened was as follows: My Avid, what did they do? Azul Lagabi Brate the Nubchanetzer. They went to the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar. Achav Amrla, Achav said to the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar, Koyamra Hashem, Hashmiel Tzitzio. Hashem said you should listen and have a relationship, an illicit relationship with Tzitzio. Tzitzio, Amar Tzitzio told her, Koyamra Hashem, Hashmiel Achav. Each went separately to her privately and told her that the Rabbani Shalom wants her to have a Znus relationship, each one saying that the Rabbani Shalom wants her to have a Znus relationship with the other one. So she went to the Nebuchadnezzar and she said, these two Jewish prophets who claim to be prophets are telling me in the name of Hashem that I should do Znus. Should I listen or should I not listen? So the Nebuchadnezzar told his daughter, the God of the Jews does not like Znus. And therefore, very questionable their Nebuah, whether it really is true. When they come to you again, send them to me. When they came to her, she sent them to her father. He said to him, who told you this prophecy? He says, I asked Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah for Amaliyasar. And they told me a relationship like this is prohibited. So how could you tell me a prophecy that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are telling me it is an impossible prophecy? We are also prophets like them. You know, they have their prophecies. We have our prophecies. They don't know about ours, and we don't know about theirs, which is connected to Gemara we had, that every Navi knows about every other Navi's prophecy. But Nebuchadnezzar didn't learn Masechta Sanhedrin, didn't necessarily know that. So they told Nebuchadnezzar, listen, you know, Chaim and Shovah Zayah are fine people, very nice people, but it has nothing to do with us. We are our own Nevi'im. We are prophets, and Hashem told it to us. He didn't tell it to them.
So why do they each say something differently?
Each got their own prophecy. There were two prophecies given. One to Tzitzio, one to Achav. Amalu, so Nebuchadnezzar said, I'd like you to take the Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah test. Meaning, I had tested them. They had proven their abilities, their frumkeit, their, what do you want to say, their righteousness, I'll test you like Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and we'll see if you come out of the fire, then I'll know you're honest to him. If you don't come out of the fire, well, there ain't nothing to talk about. So they got a problem here. So they said, Amrulai, so they said to Nechanetzer, it's really not fair, because Inan, Kwasahavim, they are three, Banan train, we are two. Three are beneficiaries of this miracle. Two will not necessarily benefit from this miracle. So pick a third. Pick whoever you want to go along with you. They will go along with you. Now, they did not pick Daniel. Now, the Gemara doesn't discuss why they didn't pick Daniel, but I saw the Farshim discuss it. Some of the Farshim say is they thought Daniel was too big. Big enough that his chus wouldn't save them. They needed someone who's not big enough to be totally separate than them, but big enough to save them. So they didn't want somebody like Daniel, who was in a different, he's in the stratosphere, and therefore he would be saved without it passing on to them, because he had no shaykhah to them, no connection. So they decided to pick someone who they felt would be connected to them, and therefore that person would be saved, because he would be a righteous person, and through that person, they would be saved.
They don't want to pick someone in a different stratosphere because...
So, the way the Mepharshim explained it is that sometimes, it's like, again, I don't know anything about these things, but the way these Mepharshim explained it is, the schus of someone for a rabbin is if he has shaykhus to that group. But if he has no shaykhus to that group, he can be individual. He's like by himself, but his chus will not pass on to others.
He will be saved, they won't.
Exactly.
He for sure is going to be saved.
Yeah, they knew that he was going to be saved. Whoever they're going to pick is going to be saved. But they needed someone not big enough to be removed from them. Big enough to be saved, but not big enough to be in a different league totally.
They know their faults, right?
Of course they knew their faults.
Okay, so
but they were hoping that this person would pull them through, whoever they're picking. They want to get out of here. They don't want to be burnt in fire.
I understand that, but they're not stupid. They realize whoever they're going to get, this person aren't going to help them.
They think it might. It might. There's such a thing that somebody's chus can help you. Listen, that's what they thought, right? We're trying to get into their thought process. They thought that someone's chus would help. By the way, it does work that way, by the way. There's such a thing that a schus of a tzaddik can help other people. Yesterday I learned the Gemara Chulin and Daf that said when Abchi and his sons came to Eretz Yisrael, a whole bunch of changes occurred, one of them being that the linen that used to be infected by bugs, all the bugs left the linen. You know, because Abchi moved to Eretz Yisrael. So there is concept that tzaddikim have ability to save generations, save their city, save their thing, right? We see it by Zdoim. If there's 10 tzaddikim, the whole city will be saved. The concept exists that it's chus of a tzaddik can save those around him. Yes, Harvey.
Were these two good plans, or
did
they actually have
boxes? No, this is totally...
These were total imposters.
Exactly.
So they think that the two of them were still in the category of
Yeshua. Well, I don't think they think they're in the category of Yeshua. They thought Yeshua is big enough to be saved, and not, the way these Mepharshim learned, not so big enough that he won't have anything to do with us. Hoping that his chus will cool down the fire, that they can survive it as well. They wanted to go in on his coattails. That's basically what they wanted to do.
But these two had no
spite. Absolutely not. Yes.
Number one, as far as the Klein comes from Rachman, from Chesed, and is the whole function of the Klein is connection to the people of Klein Yisrael. So the choice of the Klein Gadol, the person who's going to be most connected to Klein Yisrael is an obvious one. The other thing, as far as what they were thinking, it's just basic game theory. What's the downside to them? The downside to them is they take your show with them, they'll get toasted. If they don't take show with them, they'll get toasted. All in all.
So he was just zeroing in on the fact that I differentiate between Yeshua and Daniel itself. That's the Rabbite. Amru, they said Yeshua Kohen Gadol. Sarvi, they thought. Vaisi Yeshua the Nafish Chusei, let Yeshua come who has a lot of Chusim, Umagnavar, and he will protect us. Achisu, they brought him down, Shadinu, and they threw him into the furnace. Inu Iklu, they got burnt. Yeshua Kohen Gadol Ichu Chumanei. his clothing got singed. Shenemar by Uranius Yeshua HaKohen Gadol Oymed Lufnei Malach Hashem. This is in a Nevuah in Zecharia where he showed me Yeshua HaKohen Gadol standing in front of Hashem. Right? It says over there in the pasuk, "Vayomer Hashem al Hasatan, Yigla Hashem b'chol Hasatan." Hashem will scream at the Satan, and it ends up the pasuk, "Avloizeh ud mutzo me'esh." He is a ud is a poke thing that you use to stoke the fire, a stoker that is saved from the fire. And it says over there later on that it seems that I don't know where you learn out that his clothing was singed, but. It's from the comparison to the stoker that gets singed. So he was also, his clothing was singed. That's what Rashi says is the limud. Amalo yadana de tzadikah. So if Chanetzer tells Yeshua, I know you're a tzadik. And on my time, anach b'kvurta. Nura. Why did the fire have some ability to hurt you? It singed your clothing. Chanayim Mishov Azariah lehana buklau. And Chanayim Mishov Azariah walked out with nothing. Why didn't you merit their type of an ace? Amala inu klasa habavanochad. He said, because there are three and I was one. Amalai Vavram Yochad Hava. He said, but Avram was by himself and he walked out of his kibshan aish. So obviously one can merit total saving as well. It's an amazing thing. I mean, no offense to the Nebuchadnezzar here. Here's a man who just walked down in a furnace. And like we're picking, so why did your clothing get singed? Listen, I just walked out of a furnace. You try it. I mean, it's not like it's a common happening, and he's sitting and picking on him, like, you know, why is your clothing singed? And Chananya Mishael Azarias wasn't. As if, I mean, what difference does it make to the Chanetzer? I don't know, I guess he was interested in this. Let me just finish the next piece of Gemara. So he said, Hasim Le'abi Rishon Badayu. There were no Rishon, but Le'ishab Rishusim Le'nura. Fire had no control. Hakab Rishon Badi, I had two Rishon. The Shabbat and Rishus and the Nura, and the fire had to burn them. And therefore, it affected me. Behind the Dami Inchi, that's what people say. Trey Udi Yaveshi Vachad Vituva, Tiva, you have two dry stokers and one wet one. Ukda Yaveshi Lurtiva. What happens is, the fact that the dry ones are being affected by the fire causes some effect on the wet one as well. Now, that's not the real reason his clothing was burned. That's what he told the Nebuchadnezzar. Frank the Gemara, my time, Yanish, what was the real reason? They married women that weren't fit, appropriate for kahuna. And he didn't stop them. It says in the Nevuah he was wearing dirty clothing. Why would the prophecy have Yeshua wearing dirty clothing? Does he wear dirty clothing? Because kahuna is exemplified by the clothing the kohen wear, and therefore he was something wrong in the kahuna aspect. His clothing was dirty. Now he personally was a tzaddik. There it is. His kids married women that they weren't supposed to marry as kohanim. He didn't stop them, and therefore it affected his quote unquote clothing, and that's why his clothing got singed. Rashi. Dr. Rashi. Kloyos shibolim hamuvavim be'esh, stalks that are toasted in fire. Hashmi yishtamshi, which means have tashmish toasted. If you chusai, they have a lot of chusim. But is that ud? Not ud nechrach. Just like a stoker gets singed, afu nechrach. Ahani hayel it helped. Agdu sarfu, gabert. My time ianish Yeshua dahari nura lemane that it affected his clothing. Dahai dahade he l'nuchanetzer. As she says, chiyah ba'avadachay. But he told the nuchanetzer was a nice, you know, way out of the nuchanetzer. But what was the truth? And the answer is because of his daughters. Yes, doctor.
Rebbe was thinking that he was timing on that. That's what the other rabbi. This is the greatest of Nebuchadnezzar. Is that he realized that the Rambam was the Rambam, and that every thing he did had a reason. And so, if any detail was out of place, it had to have a significance. And it's true because it's even more now says.
I would think that if I was standing there, I'd be in awe of the fact that the guy walked out of the
but that's because I'm not on the level of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar could have been had the possibility of being at the level of David Melch also.
Well, he could have also just like Paro had his own magic man. He was very interested in the magic.
Doesn't say anywhere that he did. It doesn't say anywhere that I know of a Navi that he used sorcery.
the most powerful man in the world is probably used to seeing some amazing.
That's true. That's true. Good thing. Yes.
So why do we have to deflect this answer that he gave and say it's really a fake answer? I mean, I don't understand why it was bothering the Gemara. It says really why was it?
I mean, the way I understand it is very simple. If they were going with the rule that Kivin should eat the Shus Lamashchus, and I don't know, I'm not going to apply it here, then why wasn't he killed? And if he was saved, that means he wasn't under the Shus Lamashchus, so then why was his clothing burned? You're splitting it here. I mean, if there is Shus Lamashchus, then he shouldn't be saved. If there's no Shus Lamashchus, he's saved, so why can't his clothing be saved?
You mean he can't break his... Okay.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
We
had that in the Gemara earlier. These were not Goyish and Navis.
I know that.
I'm not a Navi. I can't tell you.
It's Moshe knew about Bilam.
I have no idea. No idea. Yes.
I've seen Rav Tzedek years ago, but this extends that any time, according to Rav Tzedek, any time, an Amora answers a Min or a Suzuki or a guy, that the answer is always push off. That the real answer is something else.
I mean, many times we find that in the Gemara. I didn't know it as a general rule. I mean, if Tzadik says it,
my words should be checked. I could be wrong about
that. That's the Gemara advice. Amarim Tankam, Darish Bakapara Bitsipuri. My Dixiv, it says in the Pasuk. Now, we're getting off, seems like we're getting off on a tangent. But it's not really. We're going to get back to Hanani Mishov Azariah, which is why we're getting off on the tangent. Rus goes out to Bayaz to the field, and at one point in their meeting, he gives her 6 barley. Sheish Sa'irim Ha'elin. She comes back to Naomi and she says, look, he gave me these 6 barley. Now, what is 6?
6 grains of barley.
Well, it says Sheish Sa'irim Ha'ela Nasamli. That's what the Pasuk is bothered. That's what the Gemara is going to be bothered with. So she comes back to her mother-in-law, and she says, my Dixiv, she says, Sheish HaSa'irim Ha'ela Nasali. He gave me 6 barley. My Sheish HaSa'irim. What is that referring to? Elaim HaSheish Sa'irim Mamash. Does it mean 6 grains of barley? Chidakish Abayas Litim Atana Sheish Sa'irim. What is this, what the present is? 6 little barley grains? I mean, this is what you give a present? Rashi, sheish garinim sa'irim mamish, 6 kernels of barley. Chidagda shabaya zitin sheish shabalim. But Tanan, notice Rashi is not bothered by the fact that it's such a little present. What bothers Rashi is that the halakha says, in parasalani begayim fungus makati kapsirim. You have to give an ani a meal's worth. 6 barley kernels are not a meal's worth. You need a half a cup. And for the Gemara, Elo, sheish sa'im. What are you going to say it means? He gave her 6 saw. So Thrashi, why are we jumping from kernels to saw? They're intermediate measuring cups. So Thrashi, sheish soim, the sheish kabin, or sheish lugin, leket lemeimar. We can't say 6 kabin or 6 lugin, because people who come to the gairin don't come with less than a saw. That's what Rashi told me, a fact. Rashi knows it, I don't know from where, that when people, Aniyim, poor people came, they bought a saw along. They were going to fill up a saw. And therefore, if he gave her 6, it's either 6 kernels or 6 of the measuring things that are around, and the measuring cups, the measuring kalim that are around, is the size of the saw. Yes.
Gairin is where they grind it?
Gairin is where they gather it, and they process it. They thresh it. Is she going to carry 6 saw? How is she going to carry 6 saw home? Ella Remez Ramazla. He gave her what he gave her. But the pasuk is accentuating that there were 6 extra barley grains that he gave her besides her regular what he gave her. And the reason he gave her those 6 barley grains was to hint to her. Shashidin Shisha Banam Lotus Mimena. She was going to have 6 sons. Shemizbarcha b'sheish sheish brachas, that each one will be a beneficiary of six brachas. So the Torah is saying he gave her sheish sirim, right? Sheish sirim, to tell her there's going to be six descendants of yours that will be blessed with six brachas. And she obviously understood this remez. Because if not, what is he telling her to her? Obviously, she understood this remez. Yes, Harvey.
Who was Boaz practicing?
He was a Navi. He was a very big person. I don't know if he was a Navi per se. I think he was. I think he's listed in the 48 in the prophets. But besides that, he was the head of the. He was the Gadol Hadar. He obviously probably he dabbles in prophecy. He's listed it. I think in Megillah it lists the 48 prophets. Rashi lists them. I think he's listed as one of them. This is not the example of prophecy given, but they give an example of prophecy that he gave. Rashi little sheish son v'lisa matzah kazeh ramavah the sheish garinim nasma v'simim v'remez shasidin lotz sheish banim imena, she can have six descendants that are going to have six brachas. Now, who are these six descendants? Eluhay, David, Mashiach, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Those six descendants will have six brachas apiece. Now, the concept of six brachas and six descendants, this is Kabbalistic, I don't know Kabbalah, but I just want to point out that there is a concept of six in the sense that Magen David is, it has six corners. Right? David had this special shield that the Swarm say had six corners. I don't know if it has anything to do with it. Obviously six has some Kabbalistic meaning, and that is, it's not, it obviously stands for something that they get these six blessings. Also, interestingly enough, the only one, David and Mashiach go together because Mashiach is the completing David's mission in the world. But the Neil, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah seem to be like, they're not kings. They're not Shlomo HaMelech, Yechizkiah, and other great kings. They're people that were in Golus. They were in exile and served in Melech Babel, had miracles done to them, but they are four that are giving these six brachas. Interestingly enough, that besides the David and Mashiach, the other four are not people that were kings, not people that were around in Klal Yisrael when the going was good. They were around in Golus, and they were this Barech B'Sheish Brachas, and they lived at the same time. So you have two in history besides the four that lived at the same time. Again, I'm just pointing it out. Not that I know what to do with this. I'm just pointing it out. Doesn't say about anybody else. Only these six.
They got a bracha.
They have six brachas.
Each one has six. Their own six brachas.
Own six brachas. David said, "Vayan echad mina arim." One of the lads said. Now this was Doeg, who was Shaul's reish bezin. He was Shaul's servant, or whatever you want to call him. He was in Shaul's army, and he said, "Vayomer, hinei reisi ben liyishai beis halachmi. I saw a son to Yishai from beis lechem. Yedayin nagin, the gibor chayu. Yedayin nagin usually means he knows the music. Strong ish mocham, a man of war." Navin Dabar understands things. The Ish Tayar is a man of appearance. Vashem Imai, the God takes out the Gaimer. Those are six brachas. These six praises that Dayak sang about David HaMelech were all Lashon Hara. He only said it so he could get Shaul angry. That's a form of Lashon Hara. If I go to someone and I say good things about someone else that I know will cause anger, that's Lashon Hara, even though I'm saying the nicest things. But its intent was to provoke Shaul's anger. And now he explains what the six things were. Yedeya nagen she yedeya lishol. He knows how to ask questions. He knows what questions to ask in learning. Gibor she yedeya lahashiv. He knows how to answer questions. Notice that these six praises have nothing to do with war. They have to do with learning. He's able to deal in the war of Torah. He's able to figure things out using his power of arguing and explaining and getting to the bottom of a halacha.
This is what
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
No.
But it's not just we're middle of the story. The Navar Davar, I'm going in the they changed the order. The Navar Davar, and he understands Shemay Vendavar Mitev Davar. He's able to figure things out. Ish Tayar Shemar Ponim Bahalocha. He's able to figure out. What does he say? Mar Ponim.
Displays the appealing face.
I don't know what that means. Meaning, I guess he displays a great knowledge in halacha. Hashem imay shalacha kibayse b'chol makom. That he's zeichet tishyata nishmaya. That he is machaven to the right halacha. The kulu amar lehu on the first five. Shaul said, "Yainasim b'ni kamayu. My son Yainasim is as good as him." Kivin the amar Hashem imay milsa debidei nami lehavivei. Shaul himself was not zeichet to that. That he should be machaven to that halacha all the time. Cholish daite, he felt bad about this. The iknabei, and he got angry at David. He got jealous of David. The b'shog said b'chol ashiyifni yashia, where he turned, he was wicked, which the Chazal darshan to mean he could not figure out the exact halacha. He did not have that shot to the shmaya to figure out that exact halacha. But David said b'chol ashiyifni yashliach. The b'shog gets jealous that David was zayichet to this extra shot to the shmaya that he wasn't, and Dayag's purpose was to inflame Shaul's anger, to get it angry, to get him angry, and he was successful. And that's why Dayag is known as a Lashon Ba'al Lashon Hara. Ben Yada says, Dayag is the word Da'ag Vav. He was worried about the 6 miles David HaMelech had. That's how the Ben Yada says. Yes, somebody had a question. Avram. Oh, good, very good. Rashi. Rashi Yedei Nagin Giber Chayo Ish Muhammad of Endover Ish Toya Shemima Hainu Shesh Brachas. Raman Dayag Vekama Mepharish Echad Men Anorim Hainu Dayag Is Dayag. Ela Belosh and Haram Shem Esaper Beshvoche Shal David. He was talking about the praise of David. She Yedei She Yikane Boi Shol V'Yageyo. The Shol should get angry and kill David. Now, Dayag had his own personal vendetta against David HaMelech because David HaMelech was Zaycha to sit down with Shmuel and figure out the Mokam HaMikdash. Nobody knew exactly where the Makom HaMikdash was. And there was different ways. They didn't know how to figure it out exactly. And the Gemara in Zvachim says that Dayag was jealous of David HaMelech because he, together with Shmuel HaNavi, had been able to figure out the Makom HaMikdash. And that made Dayag jealous. So now he's trying to get Shaul jealous to get David out of his way.
That's why he says, "No Olam Habo, Dayag."
Well, he didn't get Olam Habo, but he said this Lashon Hara that caused the killing of Naivi Rakayanim. I just want to finish the Rashi's. The Svakeach B'Talmud to argue and learning. Panim Ba'alokha should maybe Raya Lidvar if he can prove his halokha. The B'day Nami Lahavi the Shol Nami Lahavi Halokha Kamaisai. The meaning of Erevin, like the Gemara says in Erevin, David the Gali Masechta, David was able to reveal the bottom line. Sibbe Yerecha Yeruni B'Yismachu. Those who fear me, see me, and are happy. Shod Legolim Masechta Sibbe B'Chol Ashiyifni Yershia. Yes.
His father said that he knew how to learn to like David.
He had all those 5 milas that he said about David, the first 5, Yonason shared.
Not the last one.
Not the last one, and that's what triggered Joel's jealousy.
And was it to make somebody jealous of somebody's good qualities?
Not when the purpose is to get him jealous in a negative manner. See, it's not. Well, I'm not sure how to word this. Let me try. Dayag's purpose was not to get Shaul to do tshuva and work in getting that shot to the Shemaya. That wasn't his purpose. His purpose was to tell Shaul, "You think you're king? There's someone there that's greater than you are." Right. It was done to get him to get killed. Absolutely. But in halacha, this is Nukhus Lashon Hara. Never praise someone in front of his competitor, because you know you're just getting somebody very angry. You're not allowed to praise people in front of their competitors, and you're not allowed to overpraise people in front of their enemies, or overpraise people in front of anybody, because the normal reaction to a lot of praise is, "Yeah, but," unless it's someone that's accepted as a great person, and nobody would listen to anybody's criticism, then you're allowed to say a lot of praise about them. But I can sit here and talk about the great praise of the Chafetz Chaim without being afraid that anybody would say anything. Because even if somebody would say anything, no one would listen to them. However, if I would say great praise about someone that's not so widely accepted, and I'd say great praise, someone in the room would say, if you would only know. And that would change the whole thing into a Lashon Hara. I'm not allowed to do that.
That's a Mitzvah Shrucha before now.
But that's the fun of, we're not talking about before now. Bevis wasn't there.
Oh.
Bevis wasn't there. This, I believe, I don't know, Navi, I think it's right before the story of Golis. Which is the Mefarshim's question that afterwards David and Shaul had a great relationship. After these six things were said, it says that Shaul loved David. So they ask, if this was the Lashon Hara that triggered, so like, why is this Lashon Hara being said early, and he loves him afterwards, and then gets to hate him? It makes it sound from here that this was said afterwards. So it says, V'yeshli Ashiv, that's what the Mefarshim answered. The way I understand it is, that at one point, Shaul was able to overcome this, but ultimately, this six things were in the back of his mind, and when he did have something against David HaMelech, those six things like came back again and said, here is the man that's, you know, and it had that impact later on.
Shaul realized that David was greater than him, correct?
In this area of Hashem, Eli, but he felt that had nothing to do with being king.
Before Shem, the first five things.
Shaul had also.
No, he said my son.
Yeah, but he said the sixth, even he didn't have.
The first five, what did he say? Yonasan has the same
yes.
thing.
Yes.
So, meaning, why did you bring Yonasan? Say myself.
He's saying, so, meaning, I have it, my son has it. I'm not worried that that will make a difference.
Again, why did he have to bring his son into this?
He's saying, even my son has it.
You mean it's not so big, you mean?
Not so big. I mean, I don't think that many people had it. I think he's thinking in continuity of Malchus. In continuity of being king, my son has those five attributes as well. He won't be a threat to my son's kingdom. But then when he said number six, Shaul himself didn't have it. That's what the Gemara says. I feel that today I have it. Not only a threat to my son, he's a threat to me.
Right. The first five, Shaul himself knew he had it.
Right, he just said he's not even a threat to my son. But here, the sixth, he's even a threat to me. I don't even have it. That's my advice. We not on the Dayag, Javi. How do I know it was Dayag that triggered this? Sifal Chavayan, Echad Man Arim, says one of the lads, Meyukot Shibin Arim. What does he say, Miyuka? The designated, the special, the... I'm sure he has a better word for it.
The outstanding
of the lad. Uksiv Hasam, B'Shem Ish Ma'abdishol, or B'Shamish, what's the Pazik? B'Shamish. There was a man, Ma'abdishol, B'Yayimahu, Netzer L'Vnei Hashem. He held himself back in front of Hashem. He learned the whole day Torah. B'Shmai Dayega Daimi, Abir Harayim. The strongest of the shepherds, meaning he was the head of Sanhedrin, Asher Lushol. Rashi. This is what's a frightening thing. We talk about Dayeg, and later on we lump him together, Dayeg and Achitayfel, even though Dayeg and Achitayfel maybe didn't even know each other, but for sure had no shaykhah to each other. Dayeg was at the beginning of David's kingdom, and Achitayfel was at the end of David's kingdom. But Dayeg and Achitayfel were great Talmid Chacham. Dayeg was Reish Sanhedrin. He's the head of Sanhedrin. And yet, he met a terrible, terrible death. And David HaMelech curses him in Tillim in no uncertain terms because he allowed his personal jealousy, that's what the Gemara says, to affect his relationship, that he was willing to have David killed, and that turned this man, who was Reish Sanhedrin, into... I mean, we can talk about him later on the Perek, but he went really down, very low. And all because of a personal jealousy that it started. But it's a machloka. Some say Dayeg was never as big as he sounds, that it was only surface, terror never penetrated him. Some say he did, but he had this jealousy, and the jealousy killed him. And it moved him from being the Reish Sanhedrin to being someone that's cursed for eternity. So it's he's one of the people listed of Ein Lachem Elokei Haba. So here we have a frightening thing of a person that's Reis Sanhedrin. And Reis Sanhedrin doesn't mean like, you know, he was Reis Sanhedrin. The Reis Sanhedrin. And yet his personal character trait that was flawed caused a huge downfall. And that was his kinna of David HaMelech. The Gemara in Shvachim identifies it as jealousy of David HaMelech. Rashi, Abir Harayim, Netzel of Hashem, Luma Tera Harbe. To learn a lot of Torah. Abir Harayim, Asher Lashol, Al Mahum Yukut Shibinarim. He was the most special of his lad, the Hainu Dayig, the Chazin and Hachad Akari, Abir Harayim. He's called the strongest of the shepherds. That's the Gemara back. I don't know why he's called a daimi. I don't know. It says why he's called a daimi. I don't remember what it was. I don't think he's a gera daimi. I don't think he was that. I don't remember. I don't think so. I think it had to do where he came from. I'm not sure. The Gemara discusses it somewhere, and it slips my mind where. So the Gemara writes, Mashiach, the Siv, V'nocha Olav Ruach Hashem, will rest upon him the Spirit of Hashem. Ruach Chochmo Vina, a Ruach of wisdom and understanding, Ruach Eitza of counsel, Ugvura and strength, Ruach Das of intellect, the Yiras Hashem and fear of Hashem. The Gaon takes out the word Uchsev. So those are the six Marlos. Rashi, the Nachal of Ruach Hashem, Eze Ruach, what Ruach? Ruach Chochmo Vina, Ruach Eitza Ugvura, Ruach Das, the Yiras Hashem, Harishisha. So Rashi is explaining that Ruach Hashem is not one of the six. Ruach Hashem, how? Six different ways. Chachma Bina, Eitza Gvura, Das, and Yiras Hashem. Then it says, V'heirichai.
I mean, the question is, this Mashiach individual, we have to be a riot to that? He's going to be the greatest of them all, right? Is that a true statement?
Again, he's going to have six brachas, whatever the six brachas signify.
Whatever brachas anyone else is going to have, he's going to have. Is that correct?
I have no idea. You know, we'll wait and see. You know, the problem of learning, talking about Mashiach, and the Gemara is going to do a lot of it in the Chelek, is that at the end of the day, we really don't understand it. And we're going to have to wait this out and see how it manifests itself. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to be very hard for us to figure out anyway. Some Sefer writes that there's a person in every generation that's fit to be Mashiach. And that's the Mashiach of that door. And if Mashiach doesn't come to that generation, so he passes on, and someone else is Mashiach. Some Sefer writes. Someone is alive today that if Mashiach comes, he is the Mashiach. That's what some Sefer says in the Tshuva. So again, I mean, I don't know anything about it. So wait and see. I guess I can say if anybody, the biggest nace Mashiach will do is that everybody will know he's Mashiach. That'll be like the biggest thing he has to do, is that everybody will accept him as the Mashiach, which is like sounds like a very difficult task. But that'll be his first miracle. I don't know if it'll be his first, but it'll be his most. That's one that will be necessary. You know, imagine someone getting up and saying they're Mashiach. We'd kill him. Right? So obviously, it's going to have to be something that's going to be rather persuasive to the point that we'll all believe that he's Mashiach. So that'll be. We'll find out when it happens. I mean, it's no use to speculate.
Wouldn't it take
underneath to prove it? As I said, obviously, he's going to have to do things to prove it. Harichai b'yiras Hashem, harichai b'yiras Hashem. He will harichai is means a bunch of things. How does he translate literally the harichai?
Inspired.
What?
Inspired.
Inspired in the fear of Hashem. Now the word harichai is the same root of reyach, smell, and it's also the same root of rechayim, mill, grinders. Amar Alexandri Matan Malame Chitinai Mitzvah Yisurim Kirachayim. The Mashiach is suffering Yisurim and he's loaded with mitzvahs. Now, this is all part of his process in being Mashiach. He should be pure, so he's obviously engaged in keeping a lot of mitzvahs, and he's also being purified through Yisurim. Rav Amar, the Murach. Now, the next word is Machlokes Rashi and the Ramah, how to read it. Rashi learns the Murach V'Do'in. He smells and judges. Meaning, he will be able to walk into a case and know who's right by his sense of fragrance, sense of smell. He'll know which one is the right one and which one is the wrong one. And he sniff it out. He'll sniff it out, literally, exactly. And the Ramah learned the Murach V'Do'in. He will smell out who is sure, who is the Vadai, who is the definite one. He's glad with the word Vado'in instead of Vido'in. Going to Rashi, it's Vido'in, and he judges. Going to Ramah, it's Vado'in, the definite one.
So he doesn't want to get any more Vatidinim anymore?
This is a big question, not right now. What happened to Leib HaShemayim? We don't rely on fragrance. We need proof. We need Adim. We need a lot of things. What do you mean, the Murach Vado'in? So many answers are given. One is that there are certain things we do rely on Shemayim, and that is on things that happened. Meaning, we don't rely on them as evidence in court, but sometimes it's a Metzia Shaila that we have no way of proving. We can rely on other means of evidence of proving it. That's what he'll rely on, his sense of fragrance. Others want to say that when Mashiach comes, this will be acceptable evidence, which opens up a whole new thing. What means that by Mashiach things will change? Will they change? Won't they change? Others want to say that it'll be he'll know when Adam are testifying falsely. He'll be able to pick up Din Maruma by his sense of fragrance. He'll know whether what's happening in court is to be accepted or not accepted based on his feeling that he will get from his sense of smell. Now there's an interesting B'nai, so the Mashar says that the word Reach comes from Ruchnius. Ruchnius comes from Reach. There's an interesting B'nai Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael says that a person has five senses. Four of the five were involved in the case of Eitz Hadas: touch, taste, speaking, hearing. The one that was not involved in the case of Eitz Hadas is the sense of smell. It doesn't say anywhere that Adam Arishon or Chava smelled the Eitz Hadas.
Isn't that taste?
Taste is not smell. It's a different thing. It's a different sense. And
in general, there are five senses. Although, when you look at
so the Ben Tzitzchus says that's why Reach remains the most pure of the senses. Eizah Davar, the Gemara says in Brachas, Eizah Davar Shana Shama Nenemi Menu B'Loy Aguf. What is something that the soul benefits for, not the body, from not the body? They are Reach, because it's the purest of the senses. It's unsullied by the Chet Eitz Hadas, and therefore it's in a higher form. Mashiach will be able to use his sense of smell, which will be pure, to be able to sniff out who's right and who's wrong.
People are doing this in 20 seconds. There are stories where everybody's just on the altar, and people would know.
Or smell?
Simply smell by seeing, but sensation, people were able to know things. However, that didn't mean that it still didn't need to be possible, didn't need to go through, but
I guess Mashiach's sense of smell will be a sense of smell. He'll smell right and wrong. The Sibiloy Lamarain of Yishbat, he will not judge by the vision of his eye. The Shavat B'Tzeli Dalim, and he will judge righteously the poor, and he will teach correctly or give muster correctly to those humble ones of the land. Rashi. Just Rashi, V'richa B'yiras Hashem, Amar Alexander, Tidhi B'mitzvah Yisurim K'rechayim, V'ayna V'haricha Loshin Rechayim, V'lo Yassin Uchsiv V'haricha, we take out the word Uchsiv. V'av Amar Mai V'haricha, the Murach V'doin, he smells and judges, Shemariach V'odim V'shaifit, and he judges V'yadeh M'yachayim. Shemar, like it says, V'lo Yin L'mar Ein of Yishbat, V'lo Yin L'mishma Ozma V'yachiyach, he won't judge by vision or by hearing. After L'chach, he's still V'shavet B'tzedek, Dalim K'gon Ha'yadeh Haracha. He will do it through smell. Now the next few lines of Gemara is a major machlokes. Most Mepharshim learned that the next piece of Gemara is contrary to many midrashim and to what everybody here in this room probably heard once in their life. This Gemara contradicts it, and it seems to be a machloikus in midrashim. The Rambam, however, does not bring our Gemara's version of events, but rather brings one of the midrashim version of events. Now, according to Rashi, this Gemara is a totally different Gemara than anybody else. The Gemara discusses an individual named Bar Kaziva. Who was Bar Kaziva? Rashi learns he was a king prior to Churban Beit HaMikdash. Others learn that he is the famous Bar Kokhba, Bar Kaziva, who launched the rebellion against Rome 52 years after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And the Medrash tells us that Rabbi Akiva felt he was Mashiach. The Rambam brings this. Rabbi Akiva was convinced that Bar Kokhba was Mashiach. The Chachamim disagreed with him. At the end of the day, he was killed by the Goyim. That's what the Medrash says. Our Gemara has a totally different version of events about who killed him, and the Gemara makes no mention about the fact that Rabbi Akiva supported him. And the Gemara also brings that in order to bring Mashiach, the person has to pass the smell test. They bring two people in front of him and say, who's right and who's wrong? Smell it. And since he couldn't do it, Agamara says, they killed him. Agamara says, they killed him. Now, some learn they killed him, some say they basically let him be killed by the Goyim. Their schus did not protect him because they felt he wasn't Mashiach. Now, the Rambam does not bring that Mashiach has to pass the smell test. And here the Gemara seems to say that they had a Shaili Zee Mashiach or not, and they had a smell test, and he flunked. So the Mepharshim want to say that the Rambam does not paskin this Gemara. But the Rambam paskins that the story of Bar Kaziva did not involve a smell test. It was a machlokes of Akiva and the Chachamim, whether he was a big enough tzaddik to be Mashiach or not. The Chachamim felt he wasn't, and Akiva felt he was. At the end of the day, it was proven that he was not Mashiach. Could he have been the potential Mashiach or not? It's questionable, but that's what they want to say. Our Gemara seems to say that at a certain point in time, when one is in doubt if someone is Mashiach, meaning there's ways that Mashiach can prove he's Mashiach, if those ways still engender doubt, we do subject him to the smell test. But the Rambam doesn't bring that. But the Rambam brings who's going to prove he's Mashiach, he does not mention the fact that he has to pass the smell test. So this is not paskin in halacha by the Rambam, even though the Gemara brings it as a fact that when Ben Kaziva claimed he was Mashiach, they subjected him to this test. Let's read the Gemara. Bar Kaziva, Malach Tartin Shnin Upalga. He ruled over Klal Yisrael 2.5 years. Now again, Rashi learns he's from the kings of Hordas. All the other Mepharshim say, no, this is the Bar Kaichva post Chorban. Amalu Rabbanan Anam Mashiach. He told the Rabbanan, I am Mashiach. Amalei the Mashiach sived the Murach Vadoi. Mashiach can pass the smell test. Next Yanan I Murach Vadoi. Let's see if he can pass the smell test. Kivin the Chazu the Loi Murach Vadoi. Couldn't pass the smell test. Katluhu Rashi learns because he was a Nabi Sheker. Claimed to be Mashiach. Claimed that he had that prophecy that he's Mashiach. And he wasn't. Rashi doesn't say it. That's what some of Farshim learned. Rashi doesn't say anything. I'm sorry?
This one, Rabbi Akiva agreed with Rabbanan?
See, that's what I'm saying. In our Gemara, no mention is made of Rabbi Akiva. I said, this version of events doesn't say anything about Rabbi Akiva. So, they learned some machlokes between Bavli and Yerushalmi and the Midrashim that say a different story completely. And they're the ones that mention Rabbi Akiva. So, it's an argument. So I'm not going to speculate what this Gemara holds about Rabbi Akiva. Doesn't say. That's why I said the Rambam brings the story with Rabbi Akiva was on his side, Rabbanan were against his side, and he says he was killed by the Goyim. Someone who learned Bekatlu means they let him be killed, meaning they said, you're not Mashiach, you know, the Goyim will take care of you.
Mashiach can be killed by Goyim?
No. Not Mashiach with David, no. That's what it seems. Rashi Bar Kaziva Mimalka Hordasaya. He was from the kings of Hordas. Now again, the Mepharshim dispute this, and they say he was not from the kings of Hordas. Bachmashi, can I trouble you to get me a Rambam Hilchus Malachim, I believe it is. Hilchus Malachim. All the way to the last Chelik, Shaiftim. The last Chelik. I want to read the Rambam. He talks about Bar Kaziva. He tells a totally different story than what Agamor brings. Again, they say, they all ask the question, what does he do with that Gemara? They say, basically, the approach seems to be that he is, that it's a Machlokes Midrash. Doesn't Rambam doesn't subject Mashiach to a smell test?
I mean, it seems like the first five things he passed, right?
But wasn't one of the six. Smell test is not one of the six. After we said the six, we brought down that he had the smell test.
No, I'm saying, but the okay, so the first
six. Paul, you know he had all six brothers. We don't know.
I mean, well, I mean, he was like the.
It says Ruach Chachma Bina, Ruach Das Tzvuna, Ruach Eitz of the Year, and Eitz of Gvur. I don't know.
I'm saying he's something special.
Thank you.
He has to just be able to set.
Good. Al Yalla al Daikhan Rambam Paskins. Don't let it go up in your mind. Shamelech HaMashiach Tzarech Lathas Oysus Amoysif. That Mashiach has to do miracles. Or Mechadish Dvarim Ba'ilam and make new things in the world. Or Mechaya Mesim or make the dead alive. Or Kiyaitzim Advarim Eilish Shatim Shimaimrim. Similar things that the fools say. Ain't Hadavrake. It's not true. Sharib. Could be. Sharib Akiva Chokham Gadl Mechachmi Mishnahaya. Kiva was a great Tana. And he was carrying the Kalim of Ben Kaziva. He claimed he was Mashiach. And they thought, all the Chachmi Dairai thought, he was killed by his Averis. He was Shinerag, not the Shayna Mashiach. They never asked him to prove that he was Mashiach. Okay, so he writes that. Now, he says, if you want to know his Mashiach, when Yamik Melech Mibes David, Haigim B'Tayra, the Isaac B'Mitzvahs, to David Avit, the Yaakov is called Yisrael Leilachba, and he gets all Ka Yisrael to follow Tayra, with the Chazek Vitka, the Yelachim Mochamas Hashem, Harizeb Ches Kishu Mashiach. Anybody that comes and gets people to do tshuva and keep Tayra, and fights the wars of Ka Yisrael, he's Mashiach. That's the proof. That's it. And that's what Bar Kaziva did. He ended up getting killed with his Averis, so he wasn't a Mashiach. But there's no test. Track derived. What do you do with this Gemara that says that they had this test and they killed him? That's the Rivet's question on the Rambam. The Rivet asked this on the Rambam from this Gemara. So there's different answers that said. So the Radvaz says it was a Machloikas. And Rabbi Akiva did not change his mind even after the smell test. He said they didn't kill him, they let the Goyim kill him. He says that which it says Kutlu means they just said, you know, you're not Mashiach, and they let him be killed, so to speak. The Mishnah says that Divrei HaRaivet Emes, and he says the Rambam doesn't hold up our Gemara because the fact that you can smell depends on what's going to happen by Mashiach's time. Is Mashiach's time going to be like this world, just that the Yidden will be free of Goyim? Or is Mashiach's time going to be a different kind of a world? The Rambam paskins that Mashiach's time will be a regular world. So how is anybody going to smell who's innocent and who's guilty? This smell taste is only according to the Mandamah that says that Mashiach's time will be different. Therefore the Rambam doesn't paskin it, so therefore he didn't paskin this Gemara. That's what the Kesem Mishnah says. But everybody goes with this question on the Rambam and on the from this Gemara. The Rambam doesn't seem to pass from this Gemara. Yes, I'm sorry.
Does this elaborate with a bonus?
No, it just says Avinus. Killed through his sins. Let's show what we're going to do tomorrow. Right. Well, the Goyim used the word check it out. They do use the word Kosher Reyes.